Time for us to take a look at some of the key themes that we often call for in our economy. Everyone knows to have an economy that is thriving, you need factors of production. And whether that's the capital, most importantly, you need the people. And with people, we need us to be healthy in order to be functional and productive. Tonight, it leads us to a conversation that we're having. Being well aware of the fact that this is a municipal election year for South Africa, we thought we'd visit some of the key themes and trends that we should prioritize when it comes to the healthcare system in South Africa. What reforms are necessary? For that, we join on the line by Craig Comrie. He joins us as CEO of ProfMed, one of the leading medical insurance providers in South Africa. Mr. Comrie, good to have you back with us on KaiBiz. Welcome back.
Thank you, Gugu, and good evening to you and your listeners.
I'm excited to speak to you, and I can imagine as a CEO of a healthcare company, there is no shortage of news that we need to be mindful of, right? Whether it's nurses and making sure that we have some access to healthcare, whether it's universal healthcare and NHI, or even some of the new innovative solutions that we've heard, including vaccinations for HIV that came into the news headlines. There's a lot going on, but I'm quite keen just to understand 2026 as an election year, what key themes might be characterizing the reforms that we might witness?
Yeah, it is going to be an exciting year to come, especially in the healthcare space. So I think it'll be dominated by the theme of NHI and legal cases and probably distractions in terms of the politics, whilst I think the major issue that us and other parts of the world are struggling with is the escalating costs of healthcare. Mm. We live now almost twice as long as our ancestors 3 or 4 generations ago. So as we live longer, we need more healthcare, or we need to find ways to remain healthier. And so I guess the major theme for us in this coming year, and probably for the next decade, is going to be how to get healthcare services at reasonable and affordable prices. We've seen significant pressures on the cost of living of individuals in South Africa, but it's probably going to be one of the central drivers of increases, like CPI is going to be the health inflation basket,
yeah,
which usually sits at almost double what CPI, double of what CPI is over the last 10 years. So it is going to be a driver of more expenses. And whether you're in the public sector or the private sector, we're both going to be affected in the demand for healthcare services.
What I'm keen to understand, the constant delays and I guess, you know, the court battles that we see regarding NHI, is this not delaying us from practically finding useful ways of accessing universal healthcare for South Africans? It's I guess one that can be frustrating, but we also understand the concerns and the seriousness with which it needs to be carried. But just from your perspective, Craig, are there best practice examples we can look for that can be implemented from abroad?
I guess when you look worldwide, there's nothing that is completely a healthcare system that's replicable in South Africa. And so we have to look at some of the lessons first and then see how we can better do it in South Africa. One of the problems with the way that we structured in a two-tier healthcare system, often the public and the private sector, is that we have too little collaboration around those two sectors. Mm. And if we are going to get to the practical solutions and reforms that we require, we actually need to get to a space where we don't focus on the legal challenges and the legal fights, but find platforms where we can speak to each other and collaborate around some of the capacity that sits in the private sector. Certainly and amazingly, there is some capacity that even sits in the public sector. And if we look at it together, we surely can come up with a better alternative to an NHI legal battle.
100%. Speaking of camaraderie, collaboration and affordability, we've also seen a strong level of growth in terms of health insurance coverage that is now being offered by some retailers or pharmaceutical players in the South African industry. What impact is that having on your business as a medical aid or medical aid provider? And I guess the industry at large in terms of providing access to universal healthcare and primary healthcare in particular.
When you understand that there's always a difference in your medical scheme premium that is double what your income is, your income premium or your increase every year that you get from your employer, then you understand why people are looking for cheap solutions. Unfortunately, those cheap solutions often mean that you're getting very little benefit and that you have far too little coverage than what you need. But it may be all that you can afford. And so it points to the big vacuum and the problem with regulations such as low-cost benefit options that should have been in the medical scheme market probably 15 years ago. We've seen these health insurers come into these markets, and as insurers and not medical schemes, these are for-profit entities, and mm-hmm. so typically they are low-value products with almost half of your premium going to either profits or marketing or other interests. And so we always advocate from a medical scheme perspective to remember that joining a medical scheme means that you own the scheme. There are no shareholders other than the members of the scheme. So very much like a mutual fund, any surpluses that are left in the scheme are there and kept for you for future use in terms of investments and so forth. So we've seen that, of course, the legislators have not been able to move and allow medical schemes to compete in that space. These health insurers have certainly come through thick and fast. And that has meant many people join health insurance products when, in fact, the cover they need is medical scheme cover.
That's an interesting point, and I want to play devil's advocate here as well, Craig. Many people might say, of course you'd say that, because these people, these brands and entities and retailers are competitors and typically going to eat your lunch. But as you highlight, there's a key differentiation between the needs that you have, and I guess that's the intricate part about healthcare in South Africa, right? The cost, access, affordability, and the impact it has on our pockets. So how should we, not only as South African consumers, be assessing our healthcare and financial needs, but also understanding how regulators and the industry at large needs to be meeting consumers where they are, especially at a point of affordability, but beyond that, access to adequate healthcare?
Yeah, it does point to a typical risk assessment, and we do this throughout the insurance industry, where you can look at what you have and your assets and your other risks, and you can quite easily determine the type of cover you're willing to take or the excesses you're willing to pay. A little bit more difficult in the healthcare space, where often we live with underlying risks that not even we are aware of. And so to assess your health risk is a far more complex and personal matter, but does require smarter ways to actually do that. Something that we've introduced from ProfMed as a medical scheme is a factor of having a digital health assessment.
Sure.
And so some smart technology using the devices like your cell phone or even the camera on your laptop that can actually read blood vessels in your face, can determine your level of stress. It actually reads your blood pressure and provides an initial assessment of your risks. Now, it's not foolproof, but it is FDA approved. And so often it'll give you a prompt if it detects any further risk to actually go and visit a medical professional, healthcare professional, to further assess the risk. But at least it provides you with initial health risk assessment. And so in that way, you can very quickly improve your cover, going and make sure that you have cover for the risks that you find.
100%. I do see that on your website in terms of the innovations that have been brought forward and tools that are also helping South Africans. It almost seems like a long time since since the pandemic has passed, Craig. And maybe I'd also like to use this as an opportunity just to segue to get, you know, facts, figures, experience from ProfMed regarding the challenges of mental health. Are we finding that that's still a recurring issue, where you've perhaps even had to increase allocations of savings or benefits to medical health cover?
That's a very interesting review. So even prior to the COVID pandemic, we saw a significant year-on-year increase in mental health diagnosed cases. So we're talking about diagnoses like major depression, bipolar, and other mental health cases, which is often brought on by long periods of stress. And we defined it or refined it down to a population group, specifically the 15 to 35-year-olds. And we've seen the increases come before COVID and then shift and even multiply further. So before COVID, it was escalating at about 9% a year. After COVID, perhaps because we all went back into our shells and didn't engage with people and had the same levels of social engagements, we now see that shifting to about 14% in our population group year on year. So that means 14% more people every year actually being diagnosed with mental health conditions. And so we've taken the approach to try and help before you get diagnosed, actually look at the stresses that you have in your life, try and manage the anxieties, the fears and the stresses. Certainly it's not just COVID, but things like long-term unemployment for graduates. We've seen doctors who now are fully qualified not get work. Those are all significant more pressures that we haven't seen 10 or 20 years ago. And so these explain some of the reasoning behind what we actually seeing right now.
Interesting trends, and I guess this also speaks to how healthcare providers themselves are coming on board to offer assistance. Has that been making a difference? Not just the healthcare providers, employers as well, and just the heightened level of awareness.
There is a heightened level of awareness, so employers are looking quite keenly and implementing employee assistance programs in the workplace so that there's early recognition of these early signs of stress, anxiety, so that they could be treated up front. And most of the interventions relate to, are we sleeping properly? Are we engaging? How are we engaging with our relatives, our family members, our friendship circles, the level of substance abuse has a significant impact on that. And so all these items need to be carefully monitored, and we need to be more aware of it.
100%. Craig, to shift into another key theme, I know I'm moving parts here, but there's so much that your business has been doing. Last year, June, there were several interventions that ProfMed had implemented to ensure that you were able to assist at least 1,800 qualified South African doctors who were challenged by a job crisis in the healthcare space. Is there an update on that? How far have we gone with your interventions? And is there more that the industry can also do to support the drive for talent in the healthcare space?
It's one of the huge contradictions that we have in the country, that we've got this very highly skilled group of doctors that go through significant training and are in huge demand in the rest of the world. They love our South African doctors, yet we don't have the sufficient funding and opportunities to employ them in South Africa, where in fact our needs are much higher than the rest of the world's needs. And so you're playing in the global economy for these very highly skilled doctors. So at the start last year, we've always noted the risk, certainly on our risk register, and we said, well, what do we do about stuff like this that usually we don't have any control over the employment of doctors? But our origins at ProfMed are in fact a group of doctors that got together and created a scheme for their families. And so we said, well, this is in our DNA to try help these young doctors find employment as they leave their community service years in the public service. And so together with a very smart platform, we created Finder, and you can find it on Finder.doctor. And effectively what it does is it helps young doctors coming out of community service find locums and other temporary roles in the marketplace until they can find something more stable or begin their practices. And so it was almost just a stop gap so that we can try and hold on to these doctors before they get poached elsewhere in the world, or before they get totally unhappy with all the investment in years of studying and going to other professions. We actually do need them to remain in healthcare. So that was our effort. And we had in the first 6 months about 1,000 young doctors sign into the Finder program. We've seen just recent reports, again, 1,200 unemployed doctors come through earlier this year. And so the demand continues. And as much as that demand continues, we're trying to get as many of them placed as we can.
100%. Sheesh, it's an interesting time to be within the healthcare space. There's innovation, technology, and as you've said, interventions to make sure that we prioritize jobs within the healthcare space. But to close off with Craig, I guess, an open one for you, you know, 2026, We've commented on a lot that you're anticipating, but what do we as South Africans need to be mindful of? Prioritizing our healthcare, and of course, the systems and controls, the legislation involved, but making sure that we become smarter, more aware of how to take care of our health in an affordable manner.
Yeah, we often take care of everything else and not look at our own health. If there's one thing that will stop healthcare inflation from escalating in the future, it's that we take more control of our health and that we behave, our behaviors change. We're more active, we watch what we eat, we rest well. And just that awareness will make a huge impact on the demand side of healthcare and the price of healthcare.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Craig. We look forward to hearing from you and touching base in the year ahead with all the developments that will take place. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much.